Mr. Wade. I swear I hear something. Mr. Wade.
What's that?
There is something.
Good Lord. There's someone in here.
Hi, this is Keith, your host, and it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Gee, I'm as nervous as a cat about to have puppies.
And don't forget us.
We're the Retrobots.
I'm David.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Jill.
The Retro Radio Podcast, the internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
I didn't think it would be treated as a laughing matter.
Right, we'll deal with that later.
Yes.
Always family-friendly, always good, clean fun. It's the place where new tech meets old tech and likes it.
My experiment with some opium.
Now located at retro-odr.com.
It's all right, you can't stop us.
Visit us today and leave us a comment. Email us feedback, we'd love to hear from you.
Let's hear it.
Welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast. Our feature today is from Buck Rogers, The Mechanical Mole, Episode 6 of 7, from 1939.
Hello out there, podcast listeners, and welcome once again to the Retro Radio Podcast. And yes, we will be having a Buck Rogers episode today, and this is especially dedicated to a listener who signs a comment on my page named of Dare Bear. And thanks for reminding me that I never posted this episode. I know I listened to it. I know I took notes on it. I know I uploaded it. But I just didn't actually hit the button to make it post. So rather than just slapping the episode out there, I'm featuring it in this Retro Original Podcast. And I will put a link on the show notes, so that if you just want the show without me yapping at you, you can click it and download it. But it'll be a separate link on the show notes. And what's that URL there, David?
http://retro-otr.com/wp-content/uploads/2011/08/br39000000 mechanical mole. EP6 of 7.mp3.
Or just visit the Buck Rogers channel on retro-otr.com and click the link in the show notes.
All right. Thank you very much. What would I do without you?
Probably shrivel up and be lost without me.
Yeah, I'd like to try sometimes, but well.
Don't even go there, human boy.
Anyway, well, sorry about the delay in getting this episode 6 of 7 of Buck Rogers out there. I took some time to do some research, and I could have sworn there was an episode 7 of 7. So just so you know, this is the last episode of my Buck Rogers collection. And so once this is posted, there won't be any more. I may decide to recycle them through at some point in the future. But the collection I have on the site is, from what I can tell, this just about as a complete set as you can hope to get of Buck Rogers. There's a couple of archives on archive.org that has basically the same stuff I already posted. And anyway, I hope you enjoy that. It is a 15-minute show, so we got plenty of time. But now that I've aired my word on that, I did notice something in my researching of the Buck Rogers episode. And it used to be, about 3 to 5 years ago, you could do a search for OTR, and you might get a handful of sites, things like OTR Cat, or you can go and buy discs of old-time radio shows. Or you might find a couple of podcasters. A couple of big ones that really got me interested is Dennis Humphrey and Bob Camardella. And they're still out there. Boxcar is 7-Eleven, and Dennis Humphrey just has tons of stuff out there on Blueberry, on BVO, and that's right, BVO, yeah, and a few other places, Libsyn and various places. But now you go out there and you find all kinds of OTR podcasters. Even since I've been doing podcasting, it's really exploded the number of people out there doing it. And I get looking at people's show notes, and one thing that I kind of notice that makes my podcast step out is the detail of the show notes. And because a lot of times you get something like, say, for the Buck Rogers episode, and you'll have the same note, you know, that it's featured, you know, this actor and that actor ran from this beginning date to this ending date. And it just gives you a quick few bulleted statements about the show, and it's the same note on every page. And on mine, I have different notes. Every page has a different note. It's a lot of work, but I think that's what makes the site stand out. And it was frustrating, I have to say, because it's searching for a definitive source of Buck Rogers episodes to track down that elusive missing seventh episode. I kept running across my own podcast in the top search results. Like, I don't want to see mine. I want to find something to put on mine. It was a little bit difficult, but I'm glad to see that, because you know, that's telling me that people do searches for old-time radio-related things. They're finding the podcast, and I'm happy about that. And I hope you're happy about that, too. And anyway, that's what I had to say today about the show and the website. So let's get along with the show. How about if we play a comedy sketch here, since we have a sci-fi sketch coming up later? It's the feature.
All right, let's enjoy a few moments from Jacked Benny in 1949. Jack and Ronald Coleman change places.
All right, take it away.
Oh, Ronnie! Ronnie! Where are you?
I'm in the library, Benito. And Benito, who is that at the back door?
Mr. Benny's butler, Manchester.
Milk?
No.
Sugar?
No.
Cream?
No.
Mayonnaise?
No.
Butter?
Wait. If you ever went on a quiz program, we could spend two glorious weeks in Honolulu.
Yes, Benita, I'm getting sharp. Yeah, but you know, let's not talk about Benny. It only upsets me. Borrowing, borrowing, borrowing. What a neighbor.
Well, darling, sometimes he tries to be helpful. During the freezing weather the other night, when you worried about our orange trees, Jack did come over and lend you a smudge pot.
Yeah, some smudge pot. Three old toupees smoldering in a broken pressure cooker.
Snow. Tuesday morning, he volunteered to shovel all the snow away from our house, and he did it, too.
You know, that was shrewd of me, telling him I dropped a dime on our front lawn.
Robbie, you mean you tricked him into doing all that work?
Yes, Nita, I must confess, even though it makes me a bit of a stinker, I did. That's little things like that that make life worth living. So once I got even with him for his constant borrowing.
Now, Ronnie, you shouldn't be too hard on Jack. After all, it isn't his fault that he's like he is. It's just fate.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the famous saying, there but for the grace of God go I.
Yes, but what's that got to do with it?
Well, people can't help being who they are. It's fate. You could have been born Jack Benny. And he could have been Ronald Coleman.
Benita, have you been nipping the sherry again? Too tired to think about it now. We're going out to dinner tonight. I'm going to take a little nap. I'll lie down here on the...
Oh! Johnny, I should have told you he borrowed the couch, too.
Well, of all...
Darling, darling, if you want to take your nap, why don't you just sit here in this easy chair?
Well...
You'd better hurry while it's still here.
All right. I will.
I'll turn out the lights and leave you alone.
Yes, thank you.
Have a nice nap, dear.
Sometimes Benita has the weirdest ideas. Imagine her saying it's just fate. But I could have been born, Jack Benny. Whoa, what a nauseating thought. Ah, this is a comfortable chair. It feels so good to close my eyes. What is it, Rochester?
Today's payday. Some of your cast is waiting in the living room for their money.
All right, I might as well go in. Help me on with my shoes, Rochester.
Why? You'll just have to take them off again when you pay them.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, Rochester, I'm a pretty lucky man. My cast has been wonderful to me. They're always on time. They work hard. They try their best. And always give great performances. I wish there was something I could do to show my gratitude.
Why don't you give them a raise?
I will not. Well, I better not keep them waiting. See the trees, the trees, with rare and magic perfume. Oh, no, it isn't. Why, hello, kid.
Hello, Jack.
Well, I understand you're all here for your salary. Here's yours, Mary.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Don.
Thanks, Jack.
Dennis. Whoops, dropped it.
Did you hear the latest news about Don? He's got another show now.
Well, congratulations, Don. What program is it?
Well, it's the Alan Young Show, Jack. We started last week.
Alan Young, eh? He's a clever comedian. How does it feel, having two shows?
Oh, wonderful. And the nice thing about it is that one of my bosses is young.
Don. 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 The limp belly. Any more cracks like that, and... Ouch! Dennis, why are you biting my leg?
You're standing on my salary.
Since you're all here, I want to invite you to my birthday party on February the 14th.
Say, that's right, Jack. Next month is your birthday.
Yep. Time sure flies. One more month, and I won't be 39 anymore.
39? Where were you born? On a slow boat to China?
Slow boat to China. Slow boat to China. You better watch it, sister, or you'll be on a fast bus to the Macon.
By the way, I meant to tell you I just got another letter from my mother.
Really? And what does the command decision of your father's life have to say?
Oh, nothing much, except that the day of the Shell Convention in Plainfield, and my sister Babe was voted Miss Lower Plate Wobble of 1949.
My good old Babe. I knew she could do it.
Oh, by the way, Jack, what are you planning to do on the program next week?
Well, I want to do a Shakespearean sketch, and I'm going to try and get Ronald Coleman as a guest star. I've even offered him $100.
$100? Why, you can't get Ronald Coleman to do Shakespeare for that.
Done. He's such a big ham, he'll jump at the chance.
you finished the script for Mr. Coleman yet?
Yes, Mary, I have it right here. Listen to this wonderful Shakespearean soliloquy I'm going to have Ronnie do. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to enjoy a lucky and so to feel thy level best. To smoke, to puff, a chance to blow a smoke ring. Aye, there's the thrill. Come, let me light thee. Art thou not round and firm and fully set? Again with friends, Romans, countrymen. Art thou not a noble creation? Your praise is tripping lightly from the nimble tongue of speedy rig. Aye, Horatio, the tobacco's the thing that makes a lucky sitting for a king.
Of nominees for the Academy Award. My name isn't on it.
But, darling, you didn't make a picture this year. How can you expect to win anything?
I thought they might give me some sort of an award for living next to Benny. Gad, how I despise that blue-eyed baboon.
No, darling, don't pick on his appearance.
Why not? After all, Benny's eyes aren't really blue. I happen to know that he dyes them.
Forget him, dear. Remember what happens to your blood pressure when you think of Benny.
I can't help thinking of that jerk, always borrowing eggs, milk, cream, butter. Doesn't he have anything of his own? What does he keep in his icebox?
A film of the Hornblowers at Midnight.
Oh, yes. If I ever made a picture like that, I'd ask Clancy to lower the boom.
Forget Jack, and let's talk about something else. I haven't told you before, but I'm planning a hunting trip for us up in the High Sierras.
In the High Sierras? Or are we going to hunt bear?
No, we'll be wearing your long underwear. Oh, Benita, you're a jolly one.
That's not funny, Benita. Anyway, I don't want to go hunting. I'd rather go to the races at Santa Anita. Anita.
Oh, Ronnie, you're so cute. Come here, darling.
Oh, don't, dear. Don't. You're tickling, Ricky.
Oh, stop being so dignified. It's only us.
You know, darling, I'm a lucky man, having such a beautiful wife. Come here, Benita. Let me kiss you.
Oh, Ronnie, that was wonderful. Meet me again. Ronnie. Ronnie, wake up.
What? Oh, it's you, Benita.
Yes, I've been calling you for 5 minutes.
Oh, well, where did he go? Where did Benny go?
Benny? Jack wasn't here.
Oh, he wasn't, eh? Now, Benita, I distinctly saw you kiss him.
Me kiss Jack Benny? Have you gone out of your... Oh, wait a minute. You must have dreamed it.
Huh? Oh, yes, I guess I did. Well, that settles it. We'll have to move.
Move?
Benita, I don't mind Benny borrowing everything I've got. And I don't mind Benny ruining my life.
But when he starts to louse up my dreams, that's too much, my girl.
Wow, that was a classic.
And we still have some time.
Here's Abbott, Costello, and Alan Ladd as they present an uninterrupted musical show.
Somehow I doubt that.
Good evening, record fans everywhere. This is Happy Alan Ladd bringing you the oldest all-night record program on the air, broadcasting since 1896, 24 years before radio. Now, that's enough talk. We start off our uninterrupted dance music with a recording of Mexicali Rose, played by Freddie Snitch and his Los Angeles River Washouts. Here it is, Mexicali Rose.
This number is being played for Fred and Mabel, Cecil and Rodney, Becky, Fanny, Pauline, the boys at Schmetnick's Pool Hall, the shut-ins at Alcatraz, and Poopsie. I know you all want to dance, so back to the music.
Attention, all men over 95! Are you taking care of your tooth? Do you use pink toothpaste to suffer from white toothbrush? Will you smile? Does your tooth stare out like a lima bean in a barrel of tar? Then try Dr. Fangbuster's toothpaste. The only toothpaste containing grit, sand, and gravel. To receive a free tube of this toothpaste, do not send in an empty tube. Just send in your tooth. Remember Fangbuster's toothpaste for sparkling gums. And now, back to the music.
And I want to interrupt the music for a moment to tell you that you're dancing to Mexicali Rose.
Ladies, have you tried Slicko Shellac on your floors? When you get up tomorrow, make this simple test. Put 2 drops of Slicko Shellac on your floor and rub gently for 2 days. Then put 2 more drops on your floor and rub for 3 days. Then finally, 2 more drops and rub for 2 more days. And ladies, before you know it, the week is gone. And so is your floor.
You have just been dancing to Mexicali Rose. Good night.
Now for our featured presentation.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box.
Together with Dr. Huer and Wilma Deering, you know, Buck Rogers has just finished exploring an amazing city deep under the earth. Exploration made possible by Dr. Huer's invention of a mechanical mole, a huge machine capable of burrowing its way through the ground. As we pick up our story now, we find them aboard the mechanical mole as it slowly but surely works its way back up toward the surface. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Now, Buck, suppose you stop us again.
So soon, Doctor?
Yes, Buck.
Okay, whatever you say.
I want to check on the stratification of the ground we're going through.
To see if you can tell how near the surface we are, Doctor?
Yes, Wilma. But I can't do it while we're moving because of the glare from the heat ray in the nose of the machine.
If it weren't for the heat ray to melt the ground ahead of us, all the non-recoil energy in the world wouldn't move this machine.
Let me see now. I'll have to turn on the forward search beam again.
You know, Buck, I still can't get over the city we found down below.
Yes, sir. Gold and radium all over the place. As common to the people living down there as steel and impervium are to us.
Mighty fine people, too.
Well, my observations indicate that we've only a very short distance to go to reach the surface. So let's get underway again.
Surest thing you know. Anything to indicate whether we're on the same course we held on the way down?
I'm quite sure we are. Approximately, at least.
Oh, good. Then we won't need to worry about coming up under any buildings.
No, I'm quite certain we'll find ourselves on the landing field of the Niagara Municipal Spaceport, the place from which we started our underground exploration.
Good. Well, here we go. That's funny.
What's the matter, Buck?
I don't know, sir. We don't seem to be making any progress.
something wrong with the mechanism of the mechanical mold?
No. Something seems to bar our way.
What?
Wait, I'll turn on the forward search beam again and see what's in front of us.
Well, Buck?
Come up to this metallic glass window and look, will you?
Sure. Hey, Buck.
See? The nose of our mole is smack bang up against a black, shiny surface of some kind.
Oh, yes. Wonder what it can be.
Looks like regular metal of some kind, doesn't it?
Yeah. Can't be anything very big, though, or we'd have run into it on the way down.
If we're on the same path we took before.
I'm sure we are, Wilma.
Now, wait a minute. Let's see if we can push it out of the way. Doggone it, we didn't budge.
Look, that must be the impervium foundations of some big building that got buried in the ground during the Mongolian invasion years ago.
Oh, possibly.
The heat from the thermic radiation projector makes it glow like impervium, doesn't it?
No. There's a greenish tint in that glowing metal that impervium doesn't have.
Yeah.
I wonder how we're going to get around it, whatever it is.
You sure we can't push it out of the way?
I had full power on that last time. We didn't move an inch.
All right, then. The only thing to do is to radio to the surface for help.
The only question is what sort of help?
I know what we do.
What?
But we're not far from the surface, and we have a couple of atomic disintegrators.
One disintegrator. We gave the other to Gareth in the City of Ore.
Okay, one's enough. Hey, Wilma, give me a hand.
Look, what are you going to do with the pressure suit?
Disintegrate a hole up to the surface, and then crawl on out through it.
No, Buck, that may be very dangerous. We know we're near the surface, but we don't know how near.
Well, that's something I'll be able to tell you all about in a few minutes.
Now, suppose a cave-in should occur while you're blasting your way through the ground.
This pressure suit will protect me.
But if you lose the one disintegrator you have, if it gets knocked out of your hand...
Now, stop worrying, Doctor. Somehow, we got to get back to the ground level. We know from past experience that there's no use trying to move the mole against an obstacle like that out there, so...
All right, but be very careful every step of the way.
Sure. What I'll do is blast my way around that barrier, whatever it is, and then head as nearly straight upward as possible. The inertron lifting unit in this uniform will keep me floating up. Then, as soon as I reach the surface, I'll take off this cast-iron suit and commandeer a spaceship at the municipal spaceport.
Good. If our calculations are correct, it wouldn't be far from where you emerge.
And then what do you think you're going to do?
Well, a lot will depend on how deep this mechanical mole is lying. If only a few hundred feet, I'll swing a spaceship up into the air high enough to aim down a long-range disintegrator and blast away a big hole. Then we can float the mole up to the surface with degravity rays.
Well, you better wait until you get up there. We'll be in touch with you by radio all along, and then'll be the time to decide what should be done.
Right, sir.
Buck, I'm not going to let you go.
Huh?
It's too dangerous.
Oh, now listen, Wilma.
There's no telling what you may run into between here and the surface.
Nothing more serious than a few strata of water sand, and this pressure uniform will protect me against any possible cave-in.
Buck.
We can't stay here underground forever. Here now, help me get into this thing and fasten the helmet on.
Oh, sir, we can't stay here under the ground forever, Willie. So what I'm going to do is put on this spacesuit on and disintegrate my way back to the surface.
Well, I guess this machine we built for digging down into the ground isn't so good, is it, Mr. Barney?
Huh? What do you mean it ain't no good? Just on account of we got us sort of stuck against something down here?
Well, I'll bet Dr. Ewell's machine is getting along all right.
Yeah, and this here now one's going to be all right, too. Why, I bet it's twice as big as Dr. Ewell's.
Well, that's just the trouble. It's so
big. Here, help me get onto this space helmet. And I'll be all organized out to disintegrate a big hole back to the surface.
No, sir, Mr. Barney. I'm not going to let you do it.
Huh? What are you talking about?
It's too dangerous.
Dangerous? For me? Like Barney?
Yes, sir. There's no telling what you may run into out in that ground out there.
Ain't nothing to run into except maybe a couple of layers of sandy water or watery sand or something or two.
What if the hole you disintegrate out should collapse all over you?
I won't let it. I'll use this here disintegrator with a broad beam focus.
Huh?
I mean a broad beam focus.
Oh, a broad beam focus.
Well, ain't that what I said? A broad beam... Well, that's what I'm going to use anyhow.
But what if you should run into some wild animals or something?
Wild animals?
Yes, sir.
What? There ain't no such thing as wild animals. They're running around in no solid ground. You know that, Willie.
Well?
Well, if I do run into it, why, I'll just blast them all to pieces with this here now disintegrator. Won't stop to ask no questions either. I'll just let them have it. Bing! I'll shoot first. And ask questions afterwards.
Well, all right. Only what about me? What if something should happen to you?
Don't you worry, Willie. No matter what happens, I'll see that you got took care of all right.
Look, isn't there some way for us to get this big machine turned around so we can run it back up again?
No. What I'm going to do is the only thing we can do. I can't talk to you no more on account of I'm going to put on this helmet. So open up the big metal door for me so that I can go on out and start disintegrating.
All right, Mr. Bonney. Only I hope you're awful careful out there. Because if anything was to happen to you, I don't know what I'd do. There's the door open for you. Go ahead. I guess you can't hear me, but goodbye. And be careful. Boy, that disintegrator sure cuts into the ground, doesn't it?
Hey, that disintegrator certainly cuts into the ground out there, doesn't it, Doctor?
Yes, it does, Wilma. Seems strange to hear its sound coming to us by radio, though, through the transmitter in Buck's pressure suit.
Yes.
How's it going, Buck?
Fine, Doctor.
Good.
I'm not wasting any time trying to cut through the tough material that's blocking the mold, but just making a path around it and slightly upward.
Oh, that's right.
This hand disintegrator certainly does a good job, too. Look out through the forward metallic glass window. By the light of it, you can see what kind of headway I'm making.
No use, Buck. The energy being released by the disintegration is in the form of heat, and all we can see is a heavy mist.
Well, at this rate, I ought to be up the surface in no time. Just like cutting through so much...
Yes?
Hey, this is funny.
What?
I've come into sort of a little cave here.
Probably a place that was washed out by underground streams.
Yes, sir, that's what it is, all right. There isn't much of a ceiling to it, so I guess I'll...
Buck!
Wait.
What is it, Buck?
Got it. I wish I'd brought along a hand flash so I could see in here.
Why don't you come back and get one?
Listen, there's something else in this cave besides me, Wilma. And it's alive and moving around.
Then come back here to the mechanical mole. Buck.
No, sir. But when you hear my disintegrator, you'll know it's not just being fired into the ground.
Good night. If Buck sees what I think he does, I hope he doesn't fire that disintegrator. And Barney said that if he saw anything, he'd fire first and ask questions afterward. But now stand by for a...
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast. Retro-OTR.com.
Goodbye, Curly. Bye, pal.